From Illinois Public Media, this is Focus on WILL Radio and online at will.illinois.edu. Good morning. I'm Celeste Quinn. The producer for Focus is Harriet Williamson, our technical director this morning, Kyle Mabry. Today, we open the phone lines and the email message folder for questions about diet and nutrition. Our guest is licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. Today, we're going to begin with taking up the issue of maintaining weight and eating lightly over the winter. During the winter months, we have all these parties to go to and all this wonderful food in front of us. And at the same time, we may be less active as the days are short and the weather's cold. So that's one of the things we'll talk about this morning to get us going. Listeners, we look forward to your phone calls and email messages. Join us with a phone call or by email. The phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. That's WILL-talk@illinois.edu. Susan Kundrat is a sports and wellness nutritionist and president of Nutrition on the Move. She's an adjunct lecturer with the University of Illinois Food Science and Human Nutrition Department. She is also the sports dietitian for Illini Athletics and leads nutrition and cooking classes at the ARC, the Activities and Recreation Center at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. The email address, will-talk@illinois.edu. Good to see you again. How are you?
Very good. Good morning. It's a warm morning this morning.
It is. It's 49 degrees.
It's amazing.
Here in mid-December.
Mm-hmm.
So much for giving us an off-the-hook thing with it's too cold outside.
That's right.
But anyway, it is a time when we celebrate the mm-hmm. holidays, and to do that, food is an important part of that. So how might we enjoy ourselves without putting on the pounds?
Well, I think there are a few things that, if we keep in mind, really do help. And one of them you already mentioned, I think, is staying active, finding ways to stay active, finding fun ways to exercise and be active. This last week or so, there was a new study that came out that looked at how maybe a little bit less exercise than we even thought was going to be beneficial for people with diabetes. For example, that looked at 25 minutes per week or 25 minutes per week three times during that week or 25 minutes three times, total of 75 minutes. Now, that's not that much time during mm-hmm. the week, really, and what a great benefit that was for blood sugar control. It's also going to be a benefit for all of us, even these short bursts of activity. So what I encourage people to do is if they're watching television during the break, if they do watch the commercials during a commercial break, to even get up for 1, 2, 3 minutes during that time period, move around the house, go up and down stairs, get your body moving so that you're not missing out on that activity. So the exercise piece, I think we still underestimate the benefit. We know that when we get up and move around, we burn calories during that time, but we sit down and we're more warm. We're still going to burn some more calories even if we're sitting after that. And so staying active is just really crucial. I think we have to remind ourselves to do that. A lot of people, we get in the habit of kind of relaxing, and then we really do become couch potatoes for a week or two. And so it's real important to keep that in or try to get something done early in the day that's active.
Yeah. It was interesting that the report about, you know, this moderate exercise, mm-hmm. and it truly is moderate,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
has tremendous benefits.
Right. Well, when you think about it, you know, if you think about the muscle tissue, when I work with people with diabetes, we talk about, you know, when you're exercising, what you're doing is you're helping that muscle burn sugar. That's what's happening. And so it only makes sense that from a blood sugar regulation standpoint, it's going to be so much help when you just get up and move, even if it's not as long as you once thought. I think a lot of reasons people don't exercise, one of the main reasons is because they think it's going to be too hard to do or too long or it's going to be too difficult or they're going to feel like it's, you know, just more than they can handle. And so I think the whole idea of trying to keep your activity level up, even if it's not at one time, even if it's not too hard at one time, is really, really helpful.
And what about all the wonderful foods that are with us at this time of the mm-hmm. year? And how do we balance what we need and also have some fun and enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. That's really part of the holiday season.
That's exactly right. I mean, part of the fun of this season is enjoying foods that you may not normally have and foods that have more of an emotional connection for you, and all that is really good. It's really healthy. It's really good to do. And so the main thing that I think people should think about if they're going to a party, and I was thinking about this before the show because I have a couple things I'm going to go to on Saturday, and one of them, this friend who's a dietitian, has a party every year, and they have the best food. They're wonderful cooks themselves, and so there's always a lot of great food there. So I was already thinking ahead about, what do I really want to eat at that party? And that's actually one thing we can do, because we can think, now there's going to be all these things that some things we may like a little bit, some things we just absolutely love. So save the food that you're going to eat to the things that you really do love. And then the other thing you can do is make sure that you're either eating something that's healthier before you go. So the idea of people say, well, eat an apple before you go to a party, that's a really good idea. Eat a salad before you go to a party. So you're kind of filling up a little bit, and you're getting some food that you may not normally have there. The other thing you can do personally is if you're going to a party and you're bringing something, bring a big bowl of strawberries or bring fruits or veggies or those kinds of things. I try to do that a lot simply because people eat that too. And that way makes it easier for everybody to eat a little bit better. And there are certain categories of fruits and veggies that maybe we should focus on more during this time of year too, because they're lower calorie. So if we think of things like berries, and there's a lot of citrus available now, and it's amazing, even with kids, if you take a grapefruit or take an orange and you just set it there, they're probably not going to eat it. But if you just slice it and then slice it in half, so they're little semicircles of oranges and grapefruit and tangerines, most people will eat those because they're easy to eat. So doing things like that so you have them available, so we're eating more asparagus and more celery and carrots and cucumbers and peppers and things like that that are really, really low calorie, but things that we want to munch on. Because part of the thing with a party and the holidays is we want to munch, we want to enjoy talking, we want to refill our plate, those kinds of things that if we just go into a party being a little more mindful, that's very helpful.
Okay. And what if we want to take those wonderful vegetables and dip them into something? Got any suggestions there for healthy, tasty things?
Well, a real simple thing you can do for a dip is to take some of the dry mixes, let's say some of the onion dip or the vegetable dip, some of those mixes, and mix them with non-fat sour cream or non-fat plain yogurt. Particularly Greek yogurt works really well for those dips. If it's a non-fat plain Greek yogurt, because it's already creamy and kind of thick, and so you mix in, say, a dry onion mix to that, and you could certainly chop up some, even use frozen spinach, which works well in any kind of dip, and even chop up little bits of cucumber or other veggies that you can put in there, shredded carrots, those kinds of things, so that all of a sudden this dip is really healthy. Mm-hmm. So you're dipping veggies in veggies. That's always good. But, you know, things like that where it doesn't necessarily have to be fatty. So you can, most dips, you can use a low-fat cheese, or you can use a low-fat sour cream or non-fat sour cream, or substitute the yogurt. So you still have dip, but it's really healthy. And a lot of times we know we'll eat more vegetables if it tastes better, right? So you have some healthy dip that you can use with that, it's good. The other thing to keep in mind is just how good salsa is for you. So, you know, salsa generally is very low calorie, great veggies. And so even doing something like make your own tortilla chips from tortillas and make that with salsa. And that's a great, you know, it's a great snack. And then that's an easy way that you don't have a lot of calories.
Okay. This is Focus, and we're talking this morning with Susan Kundrot about diet and nutrition. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email, 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area, toll-free 800-222-9455, the email address will-talk@illinois.edu. Let's take a call. This is a listener joining us from Piatone, line 4. Hi.
Good morning and Merry Christmas.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing okay. You know, you're talking about all this, and I kind of laugh at it. My wife always tells me this. Okay, now, all that food is great, but if you pick up a bottle or a glass of wine or a bottle of beer and drink it, it kind of almost mixes it because of all the calories. You know what I mean? Or coffee, for instance. If you're trying to watch yourself, especially being a diabetic, you try to watch what you eat and drink. Mm-hmm. People forget to eat. They might remember the eating part, but they forget about the drinking part.
Right, right.
You know, and I always laugh at that because I think you're right. you know, and then they all sit down and watch the TV or something. Thanksgiving is a classic example. My family used to sit there and gorge themselves, then get up and watch the football games. And, well, we don't want to do that, but, you know, and I always laugh at it because your ideas are great. I have taken them to heart. I've done stuff similar to what you're talking about. It's just that when at the end of the day, when everybody goes to the liquids and you look at how much calories and how much is in them, you know, sugar-wise and whatnot, they forget, you know, after you've eaten that, now you're kind of, you know, erasing some of that stuff that you tried to be healthy on, right?
Well, it's a really good point you bring up because the calories are in liquids too, right? So we have to really be watchful of what we take in. I think what happens sometimes in the holidays, sometimes when it's cold, a couple things happen. One is that we just don't think to drink as much. And so we're still getting dehydrated in the winter, and then we have all these other options of high-calorie liquids. So sometimes we drink more than we normally would, partly because it's just fun, but also partly because we're dehydrated. So one thing that we can do is say, well, make sure whenever I have an alcoholic beverage or something that's higher in calories, then I'm also getting a big glass of water. I'm drinking a couple glasses of water first, so I'm not just drinking because I'm thirsty, because it's very easy to drink more of the wine or beer, high-calorie beverages when you're thirsty. And also, you know, just be aware of how much you're drinking and how much you're taking in as far as amount. A glass of wine or a beer, really not that many calories if you have one or two, but it does become a lot of calories if you drink a lot more. So you do want to really keep that in mind as far as what you're drinking too, because those calories add up very quickly because, of course, it's really easy to drink them in. You know, a few things people can do. A lot of people like wine spritzers. So if they have, you know, maybe a Diet 7-Up or diet soda that they're drinking half of that with wine, that's an easy thing. Or using, you know, some of the lower calorie beers. They really do help if they're satisfying to you. If they're not satisfying, you drink them like water, they're not really going to help you. But if you like the lower carb beers, that's a help too. So you can do that. But just be aware that, yes, those calories are high. Calories are very high in eggnog too. So that's really good. My mom always halved it with skim milk for us kids, and she got the real stuff, but I don't know. I think she had something else in hers too, but we got the skim milk. But I think part of that was to save money, but I was kind of glad because that's how I like it now.
The fat-free eggnog is not bad.
It's not bad.
Oh, no, it's not. I love it. But anyway, I'll get off. You guys have a great holiday season, and thanks. This show has always put out a lot of great information, and you're as the guest there, you're a great part of it, and thanks again. And I donate money all the time, so I hope everybody supports you as much as they can, especially in nowadays. Thanks, guys. God bless.
Thanks for the call this morning. Lovely call. Mm-hmm. Really big thank you to that gentleman who's calls in rather frequently. So it's good to know that he is well and his family is well, and nice to hear him talk about this topic and share an idea with us. And it just so happens that we are in our winter fun drive here at WILL. I'm Celeste Quinn, and with me in the studio, in addition to Susan Kundrat, is Kimberly Cronick. She's our Director of Community Engagement. And we want to let you know, our listeners, that this is a listener-supported public radio station, and WILL counts on you to help support this community service. And our community is large, from Piatone to Decatur to Muncie, Indiana. These are some of the places we've heard from today. Kimberly?
Yes, it's so wonderful to have people call in any time, but especially during the fund drive. And if you'd like to make a contribution right now, please do call this number, 217-244-9455. You know, Celeste and Susan, I'm inspired just sitting here listening to the show. As Celeste said, it's 49 degrees, so instead of taking the bus home, I'm going to walk. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to, we have kids in our life who like eggnog, I'm going to put the half skim, half eggnog. So I've already gotten a couple of tips just from listening to the show today. And I know that's one of the things listeners count on. They count on WILL, particularly our talk programs, to provide both world perspectives, but also very practical advice from people who live right in our community, who have this knowledge and want to share it with you, the listener. So you've depended on us to bring that service to you, and we think it's worth supporting. So please call in now with a pledge of support at 217-244-9455, or you can do it online, willpledge.org. And the basic membership is just $40. That's all it is. I want to encourage folks who who have pledged before to consider being a sustaining member. And I'll tell you why that's so important. First of all, it's really easy for you to be a sustaining member. We make it so simple. You make a contribution, either a credit card or you send in a check, and then we can take funds out electronically from your bank account. If you're a U of I employee, we can do it through payroll deduction, or we can charge your credit card once a month. But then that's a small amount that you give every month. You don't have to think about renewing. It comes with the member card if you can pledge $50 or more total in that year. So we make it real easy for you to not forget about us. We don't forget about you. We're here every day providing you this service. So we'd ask you to support that right now, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And Celeste has a list of towns of people who've called in.
Yes, this is amazing. Champaign, Charleston, Urbana, Danville, Springfield, Muncie, Indiana, and Kankakee.
Excellent.
So we'd love to add to this list. We'd love to hear from Decatur, for example.
Decatur would be great.
Monticello.
Ah, yes, Bahamut. Monticello, mm-hmm. Tuscola.
Delano.
Rantoul.
That's right.
Let's hear from you. We know that we have listeners in all these communities, and your pledge is the most important. 43% of our funding comes from you, the listener. And we're just so happy to be here, and we're happy to take your calls, and we'd like one of those calls to be from you to be a pledge this year. And if you've already done that, we thank you. If you can give a little bit more, that would be great as well. 217-244-9455, or again, willpledge.org. But call now because you don't want to miss this great advice.
244-9455, willpledge.org. And thanks to all the folks that have joined us this morning. And now let's bring Susan back into the conversation. Well, I was wondering if there was something that you would like to talk about in terms of, you know, December is kind of a time when we look back mm-hmm. over the year. And I wonder, as far as you're concerned, what were a couple of the big stories for people in the business of diet and nutrition in your field?
Well, I think one of the big stories that continues to be a big story and has, I think, affected a lot of people in how we look at nutrition is kind of looking at these different nutrients and maybe some things we haven't looked at as closely before, but in the last few years they've really come into the forefront, one being vitamin D. Because now we know it's pretty common practice to make sure you're getting your vitamin D levels checked. We know that vitamin D plays such a strong role with bone health. And, of course, there continues to be a lot of interest in maintaining bone health. What can we do, as particularly as we age, to maintain bone health? And vitamin D is very important there. Of course, it helps calcium get utilized, among other things. But we're also finding that vitamin D, for example, is really helpful with immune status, just maintaining a healthy immune status. So, for example, one thing we did this year, we're doing with our athletes at Illinois, is checking vitamin D levels periodically throughout the year. Even athletes who are typically outside, of course, in the winter, they're not here very much. But we're finding that many of our athletes have been low in vitamin D or are low in vitamin D. So we're able to supplement that. We're able to get that up. And we're hoping that we're going to see fewer illnesses maybe, and athletes getting sick fewer during the less during the winter, and those kinds of things. And so that's a new thing that we've implemented this year that is kind of an across-the-board big venture that we're looking at from a sports medicine standpoint. And but not just with athletes. We're looking at that with people across the board. So vitamin D was kind of one of those nutrients that, of course, people were always interested in, but maybe not. They just didn't think it was that important, some of these fat-soluble vitamins. And so that's really interesting to me because you think people say with nutrition, some people get very frustrated because they talk about how things change all the time and recommendations change and how can we believe what we're supposed to do nutrition-wise mm-hmm. and all these things. And actually, that's a good thing. I believe that's a good thing. That means that we're still researching. We're still finding out new things. We're still trying to figure out what we need to do from the emerging research that comes about. So I think that's one thing. And I think another thing that continues to be on the forefront is this whole idea of food synergy. In other words, it's not just necessarily one food you eat for one nutrient. We may say, well, vitamin C is really an important nutrient. We better eat more oranges. They're available during the winter, grapefruit, things like that. It might not just be the vitamin C that's in the orange that's helping us. It might be other nutrients together. A good example is tomatoes, or we know there's lycopene, there's vitamin A, there's vitamin C, there's other things that perhaps together really help us as far as a prevention standpoint, maybe preventing heart disease. And so that becomes very interesting, very exciting. The idea of portfolio diets, for example, for heart disease, where there's a big, you know, a big interest in looking at, and dietitians have been doing this forever, but now it's become more mainstream, looking at not just lowering cholesterol with certain foods you're eating, maybe using lower fat foods or decreasing saturated fat, but saying, well, let's do that too, but what if we add in cholesterol lowering margarines? What if we add in almonds? What if we add in strawberries or different foods? And then you come up with kind of a portfolio diet that appears to help with heart disease and decreasing blood pressure and those kinds of things. So, you know, as a dietitian, I think that's really exciting work, because that's, again, what we have been doing, but now it's being looked at as, hey, this is a really important thing, as important or maybe more important than the medication you're on for lowering cholesterol. And so that's been kind of a newer thought as far as nutrition for what we're seeing.
Yeah, and I think we're seeing a greater emphasis on food,
mm-hmm.
and getting your what you need from food, and
right.
maybe not depending on supplements. But
right.
You might want a supplement, but, mm-hmm. but get most of what you need from the foods that you eat.
Exactly. And I think that whole other area that's become really of great interest to a lot of people is eating local, and the idea of where does our food come from, and teaching our kids where our food comes from. And our community is such a great example with the wonderful farmers markets and places where we can get good homegrown food and local food around here. So it's really a nice place to live, even though we don't have the food available necessarily all year long. We have a great system for trying to eat pretty local here. And that, we know that nutritionally, there's a huge benefit to that. If food doesn't have to travel, and then, of course, you're supporting local farmers. And that whole thing has really shifted, I'd say, in the last 5 years, to people being much more interested in where their food comes from and how that is affecting what they're getting nutritionally.
Yeah, I think another story this year was the move from the food pyramid to the
mm-hmm.
plate.
For sure. Yeah, and looking at the My Plate, which is basically just looking at your plate. And again, this is something I think as dietitians, we've been doing this forever. You know, what does your plate look like? We've talked about it so many times on the show. And that is a good shift, because I think it makes sense to people. You know, if you can look at your plate and divide it out and get your servings taken care of, I think that also doubles as a big help for portions, because that's perhaps another mm-hmm. thing that's really been in the news is we just eat too much, right? As Americans, we just, you know, we have the capacity to eat more than we probably need, and we're used to having these large portions going out. And so the My Plate can kind of help put that back into perspective in terms of amounts of food.
And remind us how that plate's supposed to be divided up.
Well, if we look at the plate and it's divided with a protein source and a fruit and a vegetable and a grain, and you're looking at those different options of what you can add in there, utilizing mostly whole grains and fresh fruits and vegetables when you can, and then some type of calcium source, generally a glass of milk or something, then that's an easy way for people to think. It's almost like going back, I feel like I'm in grade school again, to the basic four. You know, it's kind of where fruits and veggies were together, but now we know that they're important enough to kind of be their own piece. But, you know, it's kind of just divide that plate, try to eat some from each serving group, and start from there, which is a great way to eat healthy.
This is Focus, and this morning we're opening the phone lines and the email message folder for questions about healthful eating, healthful living. Our guest is licensed registered dietitian Susan Kundrat. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can join us with a phone call or by email. The phone numbers in the Champaign-Urbana area, the number is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. The toll-free number, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL, and the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. Back to that idea of a portfolio diet, mm-hmm. is that a new word? Is that a new buzzword?
That's relatively new.
Relatively new.
Uh-huh. But, and we could think of it, we've talked before on the show about the DASH diet. So some people may be familiar with the DASH diet, which is the dietary approaches to stopping hypertension, which came out of some big studies in the Boston area originally. And that whole idea is thinking that, yeah, you're going to get enough calcium, some calcium sources, you're going to get certain fruits and vegetables, you're going to get enough of certain foods while you're dropping down sodium and sugar and things from the diet. And it was the combination of all that together that seemed to have the best benefit for lowering blood pressure, and partly the calcium, partly the potassium, fiber, other things too. But it's that same idea that if you're going to have an optimal diet for decreasing your risk of cancer or lowering your risk of heart disease or dropping cholesterol or managing blood pressure, then what specific type of foods might you add in there? You know, we would typically think, for example, with cardiovascular health, we'd look at omega-3s. We'd certainly look at fibers, particularly soluble fibers. We'd look at things like nuts and seeds and how they're benefit. We'd look at purple grape juice because there's been some benefit to purple grape juice with modulating the blood flow. And so how does that help with blood pressure? So take all these foods together and say, well, let's get some planning going so that on a daily basis, you're kind of covering all your bases. And that's what the portfolio idea is about. And it's kind of now been, you know, people are jumping on that idea because it does make sense. You know, how's everything? What do you need specifically? And that's, I think, where nutrition is going, where we're going to find your diet may be a little bit different than yours. And it's not just general health, but what are key areas or maybe your risk factors or genetic factors that you might need to consider.
Yeah. Well, we're different in terms of age and we're different in terms of maybe, you know, maybe I'm going to be having a child. So those needs change. And so you want to be make sure that you have what you need. One of the messages I think this year from public health folks has been watch the sodium, which also fits into the DASH diet.
Right, exactly. And, you know, we know from some from studies and surveys that as Americans, we eat generally way too much sodium, you know, maybe typically 3,000 or 4,000 milligrams a day, where we want to keep it to 2,000 or less, or maybe even 1,500 milligrams or less, depending upon the recommendations. And so it's difficult when you're eating out. It's difficult when you're using a lot of processed foods. But again, if you kind of switch more to saying, well, I'm going to try to eat a little bit more local. I'm going to try to eat more fruits and vegetables. I'm going to try to eat maybe more whole grains that aren't as processed. You're naturally going to drop your sodium down by doing those things. And so that's a big help, I think, as a general population, because we know as sodium levels go up, you do have at least a higher risk of perhaps having high blood pressure. Doesn't mean you're going to get high blood pressure, but I think it's a combination of weight gain for a lot of people, high sodium diets, less exercise, probably that whole mix that can be problematic.
Yeah. Yesterday on the program, David Inge talked with some folks about a program in Danville at a school there in Danville and how they're working healthy diet and movement into every angle of the day.
Fantastic.
And one of the questions that came up during yesterday's program was, why have we grown heavier? And one of the guests said, that's a question to ask your dietitian, Susan Kundra.
Yes.
So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, some of your listeners, I missed that show, but some of the listeners told me about the show and said that, yeah, this was brought up and maybe you can talk about that tomorrow. So I think to me, the two things are the fact that we just aren't as active. That's number one. And secondly, that we just eat so much more. I mean, portion-wise.
Portion size.
Because, you know, if you do look, all the studies that look at the differences between what a muffin looked like 20 years ago versus now and what a bagel looked like and the size of these things, that we just get used to eating probably a lot more food than we really require. I think, you know, a few months ago when my family and I did the SNAP challenge where we were trying to eat during that whole week on $4.50 a day, which would be equivalent to food stamps, what people may get on food stamps. One thing we all noticed was that we just ate a lot less food because, of course, you can't eat as much food when you are on such a budget. And so when you're more aware of that, I think that is one thing that might naturally happen, that you just don't eat as much when, you know, you can't eat as much food. But that's not necessarily good either because it may not be healthy food, of course. Yeah. So you've got that issue. But
at the same time, you've got some foods have come down in price. And so, which is can be a good thing.
Yeah.
But at the same time, that means we might eat more of
Right, exactly.
Eat more of them.
Yeah. And I think the thing that, especially my daughter and I, when we were talking about that, we said, well, it's okay to be a little hungry. Like we realize that normally we're not hungry. We don't let ourselves get too hungry or we may feel a little full after a meal where we might have eaten more than we needed. But when you're more aware of that, you're just not eating as much. So portions, I think, just naturally we eat more. So I think that's a big thing. And we eat more fat and we eat more sugar, particularly more sugar, I think. People are used to more sweetened things.
Yeah, and I think going back to the caller's comments about beverages, they can really pack a lot of calories.
Exactly.
Those wonderfully flavored coffees and teas and alcoholic beverages and
right.
the like.
Right.
So, this is Focus, and we're talking about diet and nutrition today with Susan Kundrat. My name is Celeste Quinn, and listeners, we'd love to hear from you this morning. Join us with a phone call or by email, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Toll free, 800-222-9455. 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. More after this break.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from these business partners: AgriGold Hybrids, Muhammad, Provena Covenant Medical Center, Urbana, First National Bank and Trust Company, Clinton, and Michael W. Walker Consulting, Urbana. These business partners join the Friends of WILL in making great programs possible. Thank you.
And coming up in the second hour of Focus this morning, we'll find out what's new in the ever-changing world of audio and video as we welcome back to the program consumer electronics writer Rich Warren. His reviews have appeared in a number of publications, including the Champaign-Urbana News Gazette. Maybe you are in the market for a new TV, or you want to set up a home theater, or your VCR has finally crashed and you want to explore some of the new ways to record programs for home viewing. If you're thinking about bringing some new piece of electronic gear into your house and you're confused by all the choices, Rich Warren can help. He will be David Inge's guest in the 11 o'clock hour of Focus this morning. Also, this morning we want to mention that we are encouraging you, our listeners, to join us to become members of the Friends of WILL. We're asking you to do that by calling us and making a pledge of financial support. The number to call, 244-9455, 244-9455, the area code 217. We also have a secure website. You can pledge online, willpledge.org is the address. With us in the studio this morning, Director of Community Engagement for Illinois Public Media, Kimberly Cronick.
Hi, Celeste.
Hi.
Good to be here listening with you and with Susan and the people who are calling in. And we do want you to call now for a pledge, with your pledge, at 217-244-9455. And Celeste, you mentioned the story that we did yesterday on Northeast Elementary School in Danville. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned how they won a national award, the first elementary school in the country to win this national award because of their integrated approach to health and wellness. And you mentioned getting active, and Susan, you're talking about local foods. And so one of the things we try to do for our listeners is to provide local experts with information to connect you to resources, but also highlight what's happening in our region. It's a big deal that this school won that award. It's a real big deal, and we were able to do a report on it. We then did that follow-up show that you mentioned yesterday with three different people in the region at different schools, really working on childhood obesity and trying to reduce that. We know that's a big issue. So we know you appreciate that kind of information. We're asking you to make a contribution right now during this pledge drive. It's very important that you call in with your contribution, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org.
And your pledge of support helps sustain the program service and our initiatives, like the one that we're working on currently, health and wellness. Maybe, Kimberly, you'd talk a little bit about that initiative.
Sure. We have been in the community listening, just like we do in the show. When we listen to you, you call in with your questions, we try to connect you with information or just give you a forum. We're out listening, talking with people. What are the concerns? What are the issues? And then we're sharing that internally, and then we're producing programs that reflect back, that hold that mirror up in this community and say, this is what the region's focused on. This is what, who's doing what. This is the model. This is the roadblocks. So we try to do that with these longer form initiatives in our regular programming, such as Focus or AFMAG, and in addition to some special programming. So if you appreciate not only the daily talk and news that we bring you, whether it's NPR or whether it's local or regional, but if you also appreciate these longer look, more impactful, look at the region in a longer way, we hope you'll call in now, 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. And you know, Celeste, a basic membership is just
$40. It's a bargain.
And you can bring your credit card, your Visa, or you can be a sustaining member. if you want to pledge a little bit more, but you say, oh my gosh, I can't pledge 240 right now, that's okay. You could do it in monthly installments. That's becoming a sustaining member, and it's real easy for you to do. We make it super easy. And then you don't have to think about it, but you're doing your part. Not everyone can contribute, but by your contribution, you're keeping this service available to everyone.
And what we're all doing here is participating in community, really.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. We're keeping this community strong through your voluntary partnership with us, really, because more than 40% of our budget comes from you, and it's your voluntary contribution. And you keep us strong, and we try to do this work for you. So please call in now with your pledge, 217-244-9455.
And in addition to Visa, we accept MasterCard, Discover, and American Express. Well, now let's get back to Susan.
Well, I was going to make a little addition to what you just mentioned, because when I came to the community, gosh, nearly 20 years ago now, you know, one of my friends at the time, whom I met right away, was talking about the different things she liked about Champaign-Urbana. And I think we were going out for coffee, and she was talking about she likes this, and you need to get involved in this and this. And one of her favorite things was WILL. And she had lived in Pittsburgh, where there was good public radio, too. But she came here, and she said, this is such a neat programming TV and radio and everything. And so that was one of the first discussions I had with someone when I moved to the community. And one thing that, so I've always been, you know, supportive of WILL and felt it's really important, and grew up in a household where public radio and TV was very important, and our community radio station was very important, and worked with the radio. And so I love radio anyway. But one thing that I've really noticed with this whole community partnerships is I've been able to see how WILL has affected people on a lot of different levels. Certainly as a dietitian, I've always been really interested in hunger and how we can help people who don't have enough to eat. And so I'm involved with the Eastern Illinois Food Bank. So from that end, I've been able to see how WILL helping energize the community around different issues, and our concerns with hunger being one of them, has really affected people asking more questions about how they can help locally, how we can get more food out in the community. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly through the Eastern Illinois Food Bank, we're getting out more food than ever before this year than we ever have in the past, simply because the need is there, but also because we've had support. And so I just really appreciate, just as a local community member, how WILL has really helped engage a lot of people and get these local stories
out. I think that's really part of our work, is to make the community aware so we can see one another. You know, Kimberly used that metaphor of the mirror. If we can see one another and we see how we look in, you know, from one another's perspective, it's really useful. And if we bring then what we learn across the media that we're able to use, radio, television, mm-hmm. online.
And that's wonderful to hear. Celeste, I agree. And Susan, it was great to hear you talk about that larger impact that we're trying to have, as mm-hmm. well as the one that we've had for years and years. We're trying to maintain mm-hmm. that, and as well as build these other things. So it's so wonderful to hear that. And I think that's what makes us different. As your locally owned and operated public radio and television stations, we really try to be of a service in the community. So mm-hmm. one final number, time to give that number before we go back to the other parts of the show. Is again, it's 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Please call in now or go online and make your pledge now.
And let me give some other phone numbers now. Let's encourage some folks to join us and to talk with Susan this morning. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area if you'd like to participate in this program this morning. And the toll-free number, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. And the email address is will-talk@illinois.edu. What's out there on the horizon that you see as a maybe perhaps a coming trend, or things that in the field of diet and nutrition mm-hmm. people are talking about that's just starting to bubble up?
Well, I think we mentioned the childhood obesity. So we've seen mm-hmm. a lot of attention on that area, a lot of interest in that area, and not only from a children's standpoint, which I think is really critical. Again, I think the piece that I see, one of the pieces that's really missing with that, is the fact that kids don't get much activity anymore, particularly in school. I mean, I've been real involved in my daughter's school here in Champaign and helping with the wellness efforts, and And the biggest challenge is really trying to fit these things into the school day. Everybody wants to do it, but how do you, and I think that, you know, the school in Danville is a great example of really making the commitment to that. But how do we get our kids to be more active and want to stay active and those kinds of things, I think, is just really, really critical. So that area of childhood obesity, I think we'll just hear a lot more about. How can we try to change things early on? And the second thing related to obesity is just the recent announcement that there'll be some coverage for obesity treatment through Medicare. And as dietitians, we're trying to make sure that registered dietitians are included in that, which they're not right now, unbelievably so. But
really?
Right, it's physicians, physician assistants, nurses. And for some reason, dietitians didn't get included in that bill. So we've got petitions out right now working on that because, of course, you know, that's obviously very important to have dietitians and exercise physiologists involved in that type of treatment. But the good news is that some of that's going to be covered because, you know, there just hasn't been a lot of coverage for trying to help people lose weight in the right way. I mean, it's always amazing to me that some things that are covered might include surgeries, but not necessarily, you know, the practical behavior modification and work with a dietitian. So, you know, I'm real hopeful that eventually when that all gets ironed out, that's going to be covered in a way that's best for the for patients and for people in general who really need it. So just more attention on the issues, you know, not just obesity, but the issues of what's causing us to gain too much weight or what are the other things that really are affecting it. I think, you know, the downside of all this talk about obesity is it can be real negative, you know, and it can be real scary for people. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to shame people and we don't want kids to feel bad. And, you know, it's really not about the weight as much as it is about all the other things. Are we not learning how to eat right? Are we not active enough? Are we not understanding how to manage our stress and emotions and how that plays into eating and those things? Really, that's what it's more about. And so, you know, I hope that this whole interest in getting some of this covered will really help us get more programs out there that address all those issues.
One of the guests yesterday on the program talked about how complicated it is. And I thought it was very interesting how the people in Danville at that school have been so creative in terms of working activity into lesson plans, for example.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how they've changed. They made some changes in the lunchroom. And I don't know how long their lunch period is, but they've made changes and they said it was very sustainable. And they said all it took was their dedicated staff. And they said, we're going to do it. And it wasn't an issue of a huge amount of resources.
That's great.
And they were just, you know, teachers are a creative group and they found a way.
Right. Hopefully that program can really be transferred over to a lot of other schools because I do think that's where it has to start. And a lot of times we know our kids come home with these ideas and they want the parents to do things in. That's good. That's what we want to have happen.
Yeah,
for sure.
Well, it's interesting. One of the guests said that there was the principal of the school. She said that the school has received an awful lot of attention for its efforts, and they've even been visited by a French TV team.
Wow.
So yeah. Pretty cool.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So we're coming down to the point where we're going to be winding up pretty soon. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk with today on the program?
Well, I guess I would say when we're thinking about this whole holiday idea and over the holidays, obviously we mentioned the importance of staying active and keeping active, maybe setting yourself a concrete goal. Not just to be more active, but say, well, you know, every day I'm at least going to get 30 minutes of some type of activity. That might be included in those breaks if I'm watching TV. Or if you have a Wii Fit at home, dust it off and get it out, do a little boxing or do a little aerobics on there or something so you can be, you know, get some activity going there. And then think about how you can involve your family in different activities. It might even be going to the mall and walking a little extra or things that we say when we, you know, if you're going to the grocery store, walk around once before you actually start shopping and all those little things that can really help. But maybe set yourself a 30-minute goal of activity every day at least. And I think that's really helpful. And then, you know, the other thing, how we talked about fruits and veggies and maybe even just make a list of five. You know, if we looked at five really, really low-calorie fruits and vegetables, if I had to say what were my, you know, the best ones that you could just make sure you buy, it might be, you know, a head of broccoli and cauliflower and celery and cucumbers and some strawberries. You know, maybe just make yourself a list of those five things. Right, that you're going to buy. So there are just two things you would do. You do your 30 minutes, and you get these other fruits and veggies around, bring them home, chop them up, put them in little baggies or containers, so you have something that you can grab and eat. So it's amazing how taking that step really helps.
If it comes to the table and it's, you know, prepared, like you mentioned earlier, those oranges, you're going you'll eat them.
Right.
I think one of the things we want to say is that what we're talking about, really, the bottom line is being healthy and and feeling good and being fit.
Right. And it's very true that fitness has very little to do with your body weight. So that's where this whole idea of body mass index, we don't want to take the whole BMI, which relates your weight to your height, too seriously. It's a good general gauge, but it really has nothing to do with fitness. So what you want is you want to be active. You want to kind of eat on a schedule. You want to eat pretty balanced. And if you're feeling pretty good in doing that, even if you're a little overweight, that's not a big risk factor as long as you're fit. So that needs really to be kind of the focus area as opposed to worrying about what the scale says, I think.
Yeah, okay, very good. Did you bring anything for us this month to share with our listeners?
You know, I did bring a few of what I thought would be...
Oh, you've been to Eating Well, too.
Yes, I love Eating Well. Eatingwell.com. I brought a few recipes that I thought would be really helpful, and we could put the links on the website.
Excellent.
The thing when we're thinking about just not overeating, too, is we know if we stay hydrated, like I mentioned, it's so important. And there have been some studies looking at the benefit of soup. We've talked about that in the past. And so maybe having a bowl of soup with your meal where you're getting more fluid, you're getting more fiber. So there were a couple recipes which we can post that I found I thought would be exceptionally good. One was sweet and sour beef cabbage soup. Cabbage is a very low-calorie vegetable. It's very healthy. There's a seafood stew that has a lot of vegetables and shrimp and scallops, which looked really good to me. And then a Japanese chicken scallion rice bowl, which also has additional veggies in it. And so we can post some of those recipes.
And we actually made this at home last night, and it was terrific. And we did it in part because you were going to be here. And it's a fine recipe. It's sweet potato and black bean chili.
Well, that sounds
good.
Goes
together really quickly. You can make it. The recipe is vegan.
Excellent.
So it's vegetarian friendly. Or you could, you know, swap out some of the water for, you know, chicken stock or vegetable stock. So anyway, we found it a delightful.
And you liked that dinner. That was good.
Sweet potato and black beans, they went together very well.
Wonderful.
So we'll put that up as well. And another good website or web resource, that's the word I'm trying to find, is the at the New York Times, they have Healthful Living.
Yes.
With Martha Rose Shulman. Her work is very good as well. So we'll put all those things up. And if somebody wants to drop me a line here at WILL, I'll get copies of the recipes out to you. And the address is 300 North Goodwin Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. So if you don't have access to the web, we can get that out to you. So in the meantime, I want to thank you very much for talking with
thank
us
you
this
for
morning.
Having me.
And for all the months of you've been here talking with us and our listeners about diet and nutrition through the year, thank you so much.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's a lot of fun.